Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. Democratic Party leaders in Connecticut are now stepping back from Senator Joe Lieberman and pledging their support for primary winner Ned Lamont. Lieberman now says he's running as an independent candidate in the November election. Connecticut's other senator, Christopher Dodd, says he regrets Lieberman's decision. Televangelist Pat Robertson saying, "I love Israel," as he joined hands with Israel's Prime Minister Ehud Olmert today to pray for victory in Lebanon. Robertson says, "God will defend Israel." Israel's Security Cabinet, meanwhile, overwhelmingly decided today to send troops deeper into Lebanon in a major expansion of the ground war there. This comes as the United Nations continues to work on a ceasefire deal to try to stop that offensive. Meanwhile, the White House not pleased with vows from both Israel and Hezbollah to step up their attacks. Bush's spokesman Tony Snow says, quote, "We want an end to violence, not escalation." The U.S. negotiating a ceasefire resolution at the United Nations, but both Israel and Hezbollah leaders are saying they are planning wider offensives. Israeli gunships and warplanes targeting suspected Hezbollah strongholds across Lebanon today. Lebanese officials say at least 6 missiles hit South Beirut, and Hezbollah fired more than 170 missiles into northern Israel. Meanwhile, the Israeli army says it attacked a terrorist training camp in Gaza. 3 more U.S. soldiers killed in combat in Iraq. The military says the soldiers died from enemy action in Anbar province, west of Baghdad. They were assigned to the 1st Brigade, 1st Armored Division. The military also says a U.S. Marine helicopter crashed west of Baghdad. The incident, they say, does not appear to be the result of enemy action. Meanwhile, journalist Jill Carroll's family and her employer welcoming news of the arrest of 4 Iraqi men in connection with Carroll's kidnapping near Baghdad in January. She was freed after 82 days as a captive. The Christian Science Monitor says Carroll is enormously grateful for the efforts on her behalf. Visitors to the Statue of Liberty could once go all the way into the crown, but that's been off limits for years and apparently will stay that way. The National Park Service says the spiral staircase leading to the crown is just too dangerous in this age of terrorism. Despite $20 million with security and safety improvements, tourists can only go to the top of the pedestal so far, which is around the toes of Liberty. This is Air America Radio News.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Air America Radio. Thanks for tuning in. We have a lot of ground to cover tonight. Joe Lieberman made the rounds on the morning network shows today. We have some audio to share with you from the Today Show. By the way, did you know that Ned Lamont is a divisive partisan and Maxine Waters represents the extreme left wing of the Democratic Party? And according to Candy Crowley, and who else was it? Who's that guy that does the 360 thing? Anderson Cooper. According to those two freaks, the Democratic Party has given in to its extreme left wing, and moderates will never gain any traction in the Democratic Party. Of course, the New York Times today in their lead editorial said just the opposite. But let's go with Candy Crowley and spinning around in a circle, boy, because they have the attention of the American public. You know, it's on CNN. Anyway, Maxine Waters represents the extreme left wing of the Democratic Party. Ned Lamont is a divisive partisan, but Joe Lieberman is confident he'll win the general election because he has the people of Connecticut behind him, which kind of makes you wonder why they didn't vote for him yesterday when they had the chance, but never mind. And the pig man, the filthy, degenerate Rush Limbaugh, said today that one of the reasons Lieberman lost is because he's Jewish. Glad to see the pig man, the filthy, despicable pig man's racism is still fully intact. Who knew Connecticut was chock-a-block with anti-Semites? I didn't know that. Is that where they all live now? And we'll be joined in just a few minutes by noted Zionist author and anti-war activist Niles Eldridge, Dr. Niles Eldridge, to discuss his support of the group The World Can't Wait and his campaign to drive out the Bush crime family. And also we're going to talk a little bit about his struggle against all this anti-science, anti-evolution, intelligent design horse crap. So stick around. Right before airtime, our North Metro Atlanta correspondent, Sharon, sent me a press release from... This is astonishing. This is from veteransforamerica.org, veteransforamerica.org. The Republican Congress is ready to slash funding for the research and treatment of brain injuries caused by bomb blasts. That's an injury that military scientists describe as a signature wound of the Iraq War. The Republicans in both the House and the Senate, in putting together the next defense appropriation bill, have allowed $7 million for what's called the Defense and Veterans Brain Injury Center. That is a 50% cut of what the center received last fiscal year. It says here proponents of increased funding say they are shocked to see cuts in the treatment of bomb blast injuries in the midst of a war. And some of you right-wing slugs still believe that the Republicans are interested in your sons and your fathers and your brothers and your husbands who go off to fight their filthy, disgusting, murderous wars, huh? Oh, my God. Anyway, the Brain Injury Center is devoted to treating and understanding war-related brain injuries. It's received more money each year of Bush's war. It started at $6.5 million in fiscal 2001, $14 million last year. Now, Republican spokespersons for the appropriation committees in both chambers say cuts were due to a tight budget this year. Jenny Manley, who is a spokeswoman for the Senate Appropriations Committee, a Republican neoconservative thug, says, honestly, they would have loved to have funded it, but there are just so many priorities. They didn't have any flexibility in such a tight fiscal year. They would have loved to have funded it, you know, brain injury treatment centers. But screw it. We have to have the tax cuts for the wealthy. You pigs. George Zitney, a co-founder of the center, testified before a Senate subcommittee in May that body armor saves troops caught in blasts, but leaves many of them with brain damage. He said, quote, traumatic brain injury is the signature injury of the war in Iraq. Mr. Zitney asked for $19 million, and and 34 Democrats and 6 Republican members of Congress signed a letter endorsing the budget request, but it went down the toilet because the Democrat-controlled Appropriations Committee said, no, you're not going to get it. It also says here the center, this traumatic brain injury center, has clashed with the Pentagon in recent months over a program. Now, here comes the reason. Are you ready? Here comes the reason the budget has been slashed. Now, listen up. The Brain Injury Center has clashed with the Pentagon in recent months over a program to identify troops who have suffered mild to moderate brain injuries in Iraq from mortars, RPGs, and roadside bombs. Those are the most common weapons used by insurgents. The Brain Trauma Center wanted to work with the Pentagon to identify these people so they could, in a preemptive way, as soon as these soldiers come home, they could begin treatment. Preliminary research by the Brain Injury Center shows that about 10% of all troops in Iraq and up to 20% of frontline infantry troops suffer concussions during combat tours. Many experience headaches, disturbed sleep, memory loss, and behavior issues after coming home. The Brain Injury Center urged the Pentagon to screen all troops returning from Iraq in order to treat symptoms and create a database of brain injury victims. Scientists say multiple concussions can cause permanent brain damage. The Pentagon has declined to do the screening and says more research is needed. More research is needed. Now, research is what the Brain Injury Center is all about. The Pentagon said, no, we're not going to do that. The reason they won't do it, of course, is because this sick, filthy bastard, Donald Rumsfeld, and these murderous fakes who now run the U.S. military don't want the next round of suckers who sign up for the military to understand what they're facing. Brain trauma, brain injury. And they don't want records kept. And they don't want something called the Brain Injury Center doing research. And they don't want to fund it. What they want is your son or your daughter, your husband, your father, your uncle, your nephew, your auntie, whoever it is. That's what they want. They want these bodies. They want to put them in armor that is not equipped to fully protect them. They want to stick them in Humvees that are not properly armored to protect them. They want to send them into an urban war zone where these people will go slowly mad, slowly insane, and rape and murder and burn 14-year-old girls. And then when these soldiers come back with their own brain injuries, the Republicans, the conservatives say, no, we don't want any research, we don't want any record keeping, and we're goddamn sure not going to fund anything that has to do with brain trauma. Those are your Republicans in Congress. Those are your Republicans in Congress. Those are your Dick Cheney's and Donald Rumsfeld's. Now tell me again, how do conservatives or Republicans support the troops? These evil, evil, straight from hell thugs. Man. This is Air America.
Well, this is evident, yeah. In the American way, you must live and I shall take. I will tell you what is moral and what's just. If I want, yes, I will, yes, I can.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Real people are sharing their good news about Aleve.
My name is Art Bivens, and this is my story. I have a folk group called Cool Old Dudes.
As I was going over Kilgara Mountain.
I have arthritis in my fingers. It makes it very hard to press down on the strings. Our bass player said, man, you got to try some Aleve. Just to shut Eric up, I tried the Aleve, and he was right. I'm back in the game. I can play guitar again.
Real people, real stories, real good news. Share your good news at AleveGoodNews.com. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
What's more important to you, a better-looking vacuum or a cleaner, healthier home? Hi, I'm David Orrick. My 8-pound Orrick XL may not win any beauty contests, but it wins rave reviews from owners of those dust-spewing bagless clunkers. Once they try an Orrick XL, they love it. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200, and take a risk-free trial of the vacuum that won't send a cloud of dust in your face.
We're still at war. It's in our country's interest to find those who would do harm to us and get them out of harm's way.
Yeah. Well, it started already. The Republican Jewish Coalition is saying that the reason Joe Lieberman lost in the Connecticut primary election is because the Democratic Party is soft on Israel. I'm not sure what soft on Israel means. I guess because the Democratic Party, you tell me a Democrat who is not dedicated to, especially in the Senate, to the very concept of the nation of Israel. And why, you know, I had this thought today. Why is a candidate or a member of the House or the Senate or anyone seeking elective office on a national basis in this country, why is his or her position on Israel important? Why not his or her position on the UK or Sri Lanka or Venezuela or Cuba or China? Or South Africa, or Zimbabwe, or Norway. What is this litmus test? Have you noticed this? Now, I'm sure this is going to result, my saying this, asking this question, is going to result in the launch of another barrage of Malloy, you're a Jew-hating bastard, sort of email. And frankly, I don't care. You know, let rip. I don't care. But I'm willing to have the discussion. Why is it so important for this question, this almost universal litmus test for anyone running for the House or the Senate or national office in this country, is what is their position on Israel? Why not? What is their position on Egypt? Egypt gets almost as much money from us as Israel does. How about Saudi Arabia? Saudi Arabia arguably gets more overt military assistance from us than Israel does. Why is the question always about Israel? Does it, I honestly don't know. Maybe somebody can email the answer. So the Republican Jewish Coalition is going to begin a series of ads suggesting that the Democrats, in generally speaking, but specifically Ned Lamont, has a position on Israel that is soft. And that's the reason that Joe Lieberman lost yesterday. My God. Now, this email comes to me. This is a press release from the National Jewish Democratic Council. It's the Republican Jewish Coalition that's accusing obliquely Lieberman's loss because Democrats in that state are soft on Israel. Or Democrats, period, are soft on Israel. All right? You see how this works? This is some sick stuff, man. I'm so sick of this, I could just pull my eyes out. I am so sick of this. And I'll tell you something else. I have really gotten an education in the past 4 or 5 days about the depth of contempt and hatred that exists out there for anyone, in media or anyone else, and I'm referring to myself, who doesn't adopt a 100% Israel is God and everybody else in the Middle East are demons point of view. You people have really astonished me. In the past 5 or 6 days, I have heard from people who begin by saying, Mike, you know, I really think, really like your program, support you and everything, but on the Israel thing, you're a filthy son of a bitch and anti-Semite. Oh, it's been incredible. I've shown some of them to Kathy, and it's astonishing. It's astonishing what has come through my email here. People emailing me suggesting that my whining on the radio about Lebanese children dying is absolutely false and fake. And that's A. B, there are no children dying. And C, if they are, it's the fault of Hezbollah. And why don't you, you filthy son of a bitch Malloy, ever speak out about Jewish children dying? That's the level these emails have been on. It's incredible. Incredible. I'm stunned. I don't know how to deal with it.
The thing that gets me is I don't know of any other political state that you can bring up where you elicit that kind of response from someone. I mean, if you criticize what they do in Russia or what they do anywhere, I mean, you don't find that, you know, Russian people.
Well, that's right. That's the point I was trying to make about candidates. There's a litmus test. And I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. There's nothing I can do about it. Absolutely nothing I can do about it. But some of you folks who have been emailing me, and the other thing I have noticed also is some of my regular correspondents who happen to be Jewish have stopped writing. Just bang, stopped writing. So, I bring up these issues, and I will certainly take the body slams. But I also, I've got some emails I'm going to share with you a little bit later, some of the stuff that's been written to me that I can put on the air. But the rage directed at me for trying to present what I consider to be as balanced as possible in this society, in this country, reporting on this death and destruction. And if you listen to this program, you know I have condemned that sort of thing on both sides. But you people just don't hear that, do you?
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with a first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
The point of commercials is, of course, to get you to do something. For example, we'd like you to go to Geico.com and get a free rate quote. But if you're still not reaching for your mouse, at least do this for me. Call a friend who has Geico and ask some questions. Can Geico really save me that much money? Is their claim service as good as, well, they claim? Are they really available 24/7? Once you get your answers, we'll be right here.
Go to Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
If you want someone to tell you what you want to hear, we're not the place. But if you want someone to tell it like it is, come to Match.com.
You need to start making some different decisions and embracing some different strategies to get what you want.
Match.com is working with Dr. Phil, and our members are loving his insight. We'll show you who. He'll show you how. So come see what Match.com can do for you. Match.com, the number one site for love.
because life's too short to listen to Right Wing Radio. It's more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. This is Air America. We have invited Niles Eldridge, Dr. Niles Eldridge, on the program tonight. We want to talk with him about his support of the World Can't Wait movement and his efforts against the so-called intelligent design election year wedge issue, and I believe he's on the line now. Dr. Eldridge, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Mike. Good to be here.
You are a paleontologist on the curatorial staff of the American Museum of Natural History since 1969?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, I was a student there before. Just shows, I don't know, I stick with things once I start them.
I have, my youngest son is approaching 30. When he was six, we were at the Museum of Natural History in New York, and I took some pictures of him standing next to those huge glass cases that contain the dinosaur bones.
Yeah, yeah.
And he has, the pictures are great. I have them up on the wall, huge black and white photos that I had blown up. Great pictures. Your CV reads like something that just makes me nervous reading it. You are an author. The things that you have accomplished, and we're about the same age, just makes me want to crawl into a hole. But anyway, I thank you for being on the program. Let's start with the World Can't Wait movement. What for folks that don't know, just a quick thumbnail sketch, if you would, of that organization and why it's important to you.
Well, it's easier. I don't know even too much about the origin of the organization, but they got in touch with me. They ran an ad, I think it was late last January in the New York Times, and asked me if I wouldn't, sign it. So I looked into it. I looked at what they were saying. Basically, they were saying the things that I feel very deeply about, which is that the Iraq War is not only illegal, but it's the sort of the moral morass that the Bush regime is driving the American people into. This is the feeling I have, is it's not the country that, as an innocent kid, you know, born during World War II, this is not the country I grew up with. We never condoned torture or, condoned spying on our own citizenry and things like that. And the whole idea of spreading democracy around the world at the erosion of our own democratic principles at home, really, you know, it's been sickening me and my wife as well. And when I got this offer to participate, just by lending my name, I thought, well, that is absolutely the least I could do. And Cindy Sheehan's name was on there, and that, honest to God, that really got me more than anything else. I was happy to have my name on the same page with Jane Fonda, since we're all of an age and all the rest of that stuff. But it was Cindy Sheehan, because she has such courage and such guts to be doing what she's doing all last summer. And now I think she's bought some property down there and is still
she
housing
did.
That man.
Right, she did.
So I was very happy to lend my name.
You know, you just brought up a very salient and interesting point, and that is you and I, being of the same generation, I can remember as a kid growing up all the duck and cover drills. We were constantly under the threat of instant nuclear annihilation. The communists were human flesh eaters. They were the worst of the worst. And they were going to invade us somehow, some way. They're going to come through Canada, going to come up through Mexico. And the threat, I'm trivializing this, and I'm being kind of cavalier with all that, but the threat was real. We were faced with nuclear annihilation, as were the Soviets, as was
right.
The entire world for years, and yet nothing like what this Bush crime family has done occurred in all those years of
exactly.
The
Cold War. There was the sort of the witch hunts in Congress and so forth for communism and so
right.
against communists. But it's as far as I can tell, I was a kid as you were back then. Nothing compared to what we've got right now. Absolutely.
And it's astonishing to me that relative to the threat that we faced for 30, 40, 50 years, and relative to the threat that we face now from religious fundamentalism, whether it is Christian or Islamic or Hindu or Jewish, a tremendous imbalance in our response.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, if we had gone after Bin Laden, who was the guy who clearly was, you know, the mastermind of the despicable attacks on us, it would have been appropriate, and we would have gotten the job done, and things wouldn't have escalated. Now, I think the situation that we're looking at in the Middle East, I'm no political scientist, but I think it's pretty scary. It's scarier than it's ever been, as far as I can see. We have just gone in there and destabilized, or made much worse, much less stable, that the Middle Eastern situation.
What would you suggest if you were asked for advice, not just to lend your name and your prestige to this organization, but if someone came up to you and said, "All right, Dr. Eldridge, what should I do where it concerns the political situation, not just here, but in what we used to call the Near East and the Middle East?" What would your advice be?
Well, that's really tough, and I do talk to people about this. It's like anybody else. You feel kind of frustrated as a single individual. I do think that the sort of the courage, not of our fighting people, but back here at home, but of our media, of the Democratic Party, took a huge hit with 9/11, and I think very cleverly people like Cheney and Bush have exploited that kind of fear. So what I urge people to do is to really think about the situation as much as they can, and as collectively, but starting as individuals, get our courage back to stand up and say something. I think that's what we can do as individuals. And vote. So many people don't vote. I think what happened yesterday in Connecticut was a wonderful sign of what people can do if they're determined they've had enough, and they use their, this wonderful privilege that we have to go to the polls and vote.
I agree with that absolutely, 100%. The only caveat I have is what most people who understand these touchscreen voting machines, which are used in every single precinct here in Georgia, these voting machines are so easily manipulated. And when we look at what happened in Florida in 2000 and in Ohio in 2004 and in other states, but those were the critical states where the purging of the voter rolls based on nonsense, where the manipulation of the voting totals. It leads me to understand very easily how a lot of people say, "Well, to hell with this. My vote's not going to matter anyway." I think Greg Palast put it well, the investigative reporter and author, when he said, "Okay, if they're going to steal it from us, make them steal it by turning out 70, 80, 90% of eligible voters." And
I agree, but you ended up concluding something where I didn't think you were going in the first place. You can understand why people are discouraged and maybe not go to the polls, but we have had a history in this country of not voting. I mean,
that's true.
You know, right. So this is nothing new, and people have been stealing elections ever since there have been elections, and even before there was the United States, I presume. But that's no reason why we shouldn't go out and vote, and we should, of course, take, all the diligence we can and all we can muster. I do agree that first election was stolen. I do blame the American people, though, because enough people voted for Bush to allow them to steal the election, if you want to look at it that way. So we still have a problem there.
Yeah. People can people who don't know about the world can't wait can go to the website worldcantwait.org. If you're not familiar with what Dr. Eldridge is talking about, we have had Sansara Taylor on this program, who is one of the coordinators or founders of that organization.
Exactly.
There's
a big mass resistance rally on October 5th. I think that's the sort of the bottom line, literally, of this latest ad that came out on August 3rd, which is that it's bringing people out in the streets and rallying and, you know, not going to work and so forth, and trying to join together and raise sensibilities about all of this horrible stuff that's going on.
Yeah, and it's absolutely necessary for people to make their presence known, not just at the voting booth, but also in peaceful but massive demonstrations, to let this government know that there is a point beyond which we're not going to go. So, I think that's important too. this wedge issue, this not necessarily the latest. This has been going on for decades in this country, this argument between creationism and evolution. And now they have a new wrinkle, so-called intelligent design. I want to get your opinion on that. When I lived in Chicago for about 3.5 years, my wife went to school there, and one of the books she brought home that was assigned was Richard Dawkins, The Blind Watchmaker.
Oh, right, yeah.
And the Selfish Gene. And she shared, I read huge chunks of The Blind Watchmaker, and I was absolutely blown away by what Dawkins was saying. Why has this become an issue that the Republicans seem so insistent on pushing, this argument? And I'm going to have to ask you to hold for just a second, Dr. Eldridge, until we take this break. But
sure.
Why this issue, this setting up this wedge, this conflict between the people of faith, and I'm sure there are some good people of faith out there, who want to choose to believe what they want to believe, but to turn this into a wedge issue of science versus religion. Let's get an answer when we come back. This is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
We all look the same in the name of the Father, maybe, but not in my name. On this Jacob's ladder, the only way up is down. One step from disaster.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Who's there?
Opportunity.
Opportunity who?
Opportunity knocking.
What for?
Your chance to win.
Win what?
Sony stuff.
Who's with you?
Sony Card.
Sony Card who?
Sony Card Weekly Cash-In.
Cash-In? How much?
A $500 Sony Card credit or a $599 Sony-style gift card every week.
That's a lot of dough.
Good for a lot of entertainment.
Like movies and music? A digital camera?
Go for it.
But how?
Every week, 3 lucky card members could win.
Sounds like a great opportunity.
But you gotta act fast.
Where do I apply?
Online.
What's the address?
Go to SonyCardWin.com/winner.
Sounds easy.
It is. It's SonyCard. Earning points towards Sony rewards with every use. Go to SonyCardWin.com/winner. No purchase necessary. Offer ends 12/31/06. Void where prohibited. Open only to U.S. residents 18 or older as of date of entry. Odds of winning depend on number of entries. For official rules and alternative method of entry, go to SonyCardWin.com. Sponsored by Sony Electronics, Inc. And remember, life's more entertaining with SonyCard.
This is an issue that speaks to morality and science and the juxtaposition of the both.
Oh, sit down and shut up. Our guest is Dr. Niles Eldridge. By the way, if you are keeping track here, he has several books out. The Pattern of Evolution is one. Life in the Balance is another. The Triumph of Evolution and the Failure of Creationism is another. And I believe his latest is Darwin, Discovering the Tree of Life. Have I got that pretty much
right?
Yeah,
and the Darwin book was a companion volume to this very successful exhibition that we put on at the American Museum of Natural History. That is due to close in a week and a half. It's been open since November 20th of last year, and we've had over 400,000 visitors, so we're very, very happy with our communication with the public there on this extremely important issue of evolution and also evolution and its resistance, if you will, in society.
Yeah, let's address that resistance. Now, again, this is not a new issue, but given the fact that the Bush operatives seize on anything that might be an issue that can be turned into a wedge issue, this has become astonishing. Why does this continue?
Well, I think there's actually two things going on. There's a long history, as you more or less hinted at in the original question, of this resistance to the idea of evolution in the United States ever since fundamentalism basically was formulated around the turn of the previous century.
Right.
Anything that was seen to go against or basically disagree with the biblical, literal biblical account seemed in some circles to call into question the veracity of the entire document, basically. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. I once heard a Catholic priest talk about this down in Washington in the early 80s, and he pointed out that without a pope, the Protestant sects are really kind of without an authoritarian figure. And the Bible became much sort of a substitute in his view. I don't know if that's true or not, but it was very plausible.
That's an interesting point.
Yeah, it's an extremely interesting thing. And also, let me remind you, and this I was reminded of this point just in yesterday's op-ed piece, which I happen to have cut out and have beside me in the New York Times by Thomas Frank, called The Cultural Crusade of Kansas. And of course,
yeah,
he was saying, yeah, it's great that now some liberals have gotten in on the school board and they're going to reverse this and get science back in to the curriculum there in Kansas, but don't start celebrating too early, because basically these culture wars will go on. And the point that he was really making is a point that I had understood about the Reagan people, but he's saying it's still true here, which is that there is a great sort of anti-elitist streak in our culture. That's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, we are very independent people as individuals. We believe in Yankee ingenuity and so forth, but there is a tendency to go it alone and to call into question authoritarianism of any sort. So people are able to play that card and exploit this when it comes to things like these wedge issues, like particularly like creationism. So he points out that it's an attack on all the professions, and it's an attack on education, and it's an attack on science, basically. The thing that really bothers me about this, and the only thing that really bothers me about this, I don't care what people individually choose to believe, whether or not life has evolved, for example, or anything like that. That's not the point. The point is, what they're trying to do is to get us walking into the classroom and lying to our kids about the consensus of scientific opinion on something as fundamental as who we are and where we came from, and asking the kids to make up their own minds, or pretending, even worse, that there are some really serious flaws in the notion of evolution or the theory of the mechanism of evolution. So we're asking our teachers to lie to the kids. The kids can always tell what's going on. And it's not even that we need more scientists, but we need an informed electorate out there. People need to have some reasonably cogent scientific instruction. They need to know that it's just regular human beings that are out there, clever ones usually, who are doing this science, you know, but it's not magic, and it's not evil, and they have to understand some of these basic things to make intelligent decisions about things like stem cell research and so on and so forth. And the Bush regime is just stepping and stomping all over that. Of course, now on ideological grounds, religious ideological grounds, they are opposing stem cell research. But if we want people to make a reasonable decision about these things as an electorate, they've got to have some decent, fundamentally well, fundamental, I'm using the word fundamental here, but they have to have some decent, straightforward, straight ahead, quality scientific education. And that's what I'm really worried is being, just ruined, vitiated.
We have a break coming here. Can you stick around for one more segment?
Sure.
Over the top of the hour, because I want to ask you to, or not necessarily ask you, but the point you made about the Frank made about the anti-elitist attitude in this country, it seems like that attitude though is directed more against academia, more against intellectuals, more against the scientists and thinkers, and less against the elite business class or the elite class of wealthy folks. As a matter of fact, as Frank pointed out in his book, What's the Matter with Kansas? People continually vote against their own interests because they do believe, according to Frank, that they have a chance to become the president of General Motors.
Exactly. But I do believe, I know you have to take a break, but that Reagan himself was more against big business than the Bush regime is. He was against big Washington, big everything. He was much more consistently true to this position than the Bush people are.
All right. If you don't mind, Dr. Eldridge, we have a break here over the top of the hour. We'll come back and maybe one more segment, which will take us around about 15 past the next hour. Is that okay?
Sounds great.
All right. We'll put you on hold and come back in a second. Our guest is Dr. Niles Eldridge, a paleontologist on the curatorial staff, the American Museum of Natural History, author, writer, lecturer, everything. So stick around. We have a few more questions. This is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy.
Malloy on Air America Radio.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now, 800-858-5800 for the Forward. That's 800-858-5800.
Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. The Republican Party is planning to run the mayor of Tom DeLay's hometown as a write-in candidate for the former House Majority Leader's seat in Congress. Texas Republicans, Tom DeLay himself, been trying to get his name removed from the ballot, but the courts have prevented it. DeLay announced yesterday he was officially withdrawing from the race. Scandals forced Tom DeLay to resign from Congress in June, but he had already won the Republican primary. Mayor David Wallace of Sugar Land, Texas, says he will run as a write-in candidate. Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman says he can't, quote, just walk off the field. The Connecticut Democrat, former Democrat, lost the primary yesterday to anti-war challenger Ned Lamont. Now Lieberman has filed to run as an independent in November. Lieberman says it would be irresponsible and inconsistent with his principles to quit now. Leading Senate Democrats, though, backing Ned Lamont, including longtime friends like Connecticut's other Senator Christopher Dodd. Dodd told reporters at a party rally he regrets Lieberman's decision, and he says he will campaign for Ned Lamont. Israel's Security Cabinet today overwhelmingly voted to send troops further into Lebanon, but the minister says they will hold off for two or three days to allow for debate on a ceasefire at the United Nations. Arab TV stations reporting 15 Israeli soldiers were killed today, the deadliest day for Israeli troops there so far. Hezbollah fired more than 170 rockets at Israel today. Officials are saying U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice spoke by phone with Israel's Prime Minister Ehud Olmert for a half an hour during the Israeli security meeting. One security official says Israel's plan would involve a push toward Lebanon's Litani River, about 18 miles from the border between Israel and Lebanon. Meanwhile, there are reports missiles fired from Israeli ships off the Lebanese coast hit southern Beirut suburbs, including a largely abandoned neighborhood and Hezbollah stronghold. A Northwest Airlines executive says a strike by flight attendants could cripple the airline to the point of shutting it down. The company vice president made the comment during a bankruptcy hearing in New York today. The judge hearing arguments on a motion by the company to keep flight attendants from going on strike. The vice president says a walkout would put the airline on the brink of collapse and in danger of liquidation. Northwest flight attendants say they will start random unannounced work stoppages next week. This is Air America Radio News.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Continuing our discussion with our guest for this segment, Dr. Niles Eldridge, who has added his credentials and his weight and his energy to World Can't Wait movement. You can get information about this. Go to the website, worldcantwait.org. And also, we wanted him as a guest because of his authorship of several books about natural selection or evolution, as in opposition to some of these real crackpot theories, in my opinion, like intelligent design. Dr. Eldridge, what do you say to people who believe in, if that's the right way to put it, intelligent design? Well, what can you say to them in the language that they understand to explain that evolution and natural selection really are the simplest explanation to all the questions?
Well, you know, what makes a statement scientific is that it should lead you to make some predictions about what you might see if it were true. And you cannot make a single prediction out of intelligent design. Basically, it says that everything you see out there in the natural world, the living world, is the way it is because that's the way God made it, period. And or they waffle, they say it's not necessarily God, it could be, you know, but it's not the creature from the Black Lagoon they have in mind, it's obviously God, you know.
Mm-hmm, right.
And evolution does make predictions. It says, for example, that if all life is descended from a single common ancestor, then there should be a pattern of relationships, there should be a pattern of similarity that sort of joins up everything on the face of the earth. And there is. I mean, that's why the classification schemes that were first devised by creation-oriented early biologists in the 18th century actually work. You know, I mean, Linnaeus was not an evolutionist, but he saw that human beings are very similar to the great apes, and he classified us for the great apes. And then Darwin came along and said, well, the reason why you get this sort of structure in the biological world, which is obvious to everybody, is that if evolution has happened, if you do have this descent from a common ancestor, that would give you a tree of life, and that's exactly how that would map out in terms of nested patterns of similarity, is what we call them. But anyway, but it's just the structure of things. And there's other predictions. You would predict that life was simplest in the beginning, and then it became more complex over time. And in the fossil record, you see that. You make specific predictions. Human beings should have had smaller brains when just about the time we split off from apes, and the fossil record abundantly confirms that. We have a wonderful display of that in the Darwin exhibition that we put on. So, I mean, in science, you know, you're constrained to say that it doesn't prove anything. It's just that if those predictions are not observed, then you call your hypothesis into question, and ultimately you falsify it. And it's been tested over and over and over again in many, many different ways, the notion of evolution, and it passes with flying colors. So it's a very profoundly solid scientific theory, and there's nothing scientific whatsoever about intelligent design.
I think most of us are familiar with, either from the famous movie or from reading about it, back in the 20s, the Scopes trial in Tennessee.
Exactly.
And yet that was more of a cultural schism. It was more of a cultural clash. Whereas now this thing has become utterly and absolutely political. And that's the part.
But that's almost a distinction without a difference.
Well, so, that's true. But when it's used,
I mean, because after all, Clarence Darrow was, well, he was a famous barrister, a lawyer. But
right.
William Jennings Bryan was a failed presidential candidate. You know, and he was the main voice in favor of creationism, testifying in that trial, dying right afterwards. So
right, but
that was very political.
But by the same token, I guess what I meant was it become an election issue. I don't think, was it? Maybe I'm wrong. I don't think back in the 20s or 30s or 40s or subsequent to the Scopes trial that the idea of evolution...
No, I think you're right about that. I don't think it rose to the level of being an election issue.
And now it has become that, and this is the part that's become so divisive.
Yeah, you know, but again, it wasn't Bush who started this. Reagan endorsed creationism in the presidential campaign of 1980. And it was kind of funny because the guy who got that inserted into a speech he gave to a bunch of basically fundamentalist ministers down in Texas, was that there is, I can't even remember, it's so garbled, but he said basically scientists are having their doubts about it. And I found out from the creationist who got that inserted into Reagan's speech that he had me and Steve Gould in mind when he said that. Because we had written, you know, our idea of punctuated equilibrium seems, in a sense, it's not standard Darwinism. It's an alternate form of evolution. So we were, what he was really saying is, or what the speechwriters were having him say, is that some people doubt that Darwin was right completely, and therefore they're doubting evolution. You know, which is not what we were doing by any means.
Is there a movement in the scientific community that supports real science education in the schools so that kids aren't taught or an effort isn't made to teach them creationism alongside science under the guise of, well, let's examine all the arguments? Is there a movement among scientists to bring an end to this nonsense?
The National Center for Science Education that Eugenie Scott runs in Berkeley is a clearinghouse for all of this. Yeah, she's an academic anthropologist, evolutionary biologist, but she's devoted her entire career, most of her career, with her colleagues out there, doing this. This grew out of a sort of an umbrella organization initially of a statewide voluntary thing called the Committees of Correspondence. It was sort of based on Thomas Paine's, the name came from Thomas Paine back in the Revolutionary War days. And I was a member of the New York Committee on Correspondence. And it was a loosely knit within state, but then we were connected to cross states, amalgam of religious leaders, education leaders, and scientists, and concerned citizens, you know, of all sorts. And out of this is this now this full-time organization, which is doing wonderful, heroic work, and it is the clearinghouse. People turn to them from all school districts all over the country if there's a problem, and they send people out. There's volunteers. There's a tremendous amount of literature. There's a tremendous amount of time and effort that they coordinate and put into resisting attempts to get creationism into the classroom.
And you were talking about Thomas Frank's column the other day in the Times,
yeah.
and at the very end, when he's suggesting that it's time for those who truly believe in scientific explanation of this particular issue, I think he referred to them as liberals, maybe he didn't, but I believe that's the word he used. And his suggestion,
liberal Democrats, I'm looking at it right now. Yeah.
His suggestion was, I'm paraphrasing, but that it's time for liberal Democrats to stop screwing around and stop waffling on this issue, because otherwise you're just going to go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And
well, isn't that the whole thing about the success of the right, starting, I think, with the radio, you know, the media.
Hello.
You know, I mean, that's exactly. These people have almost a genius for coming up with brilliant ways of putting things. I mean, what did our Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld said when Hezbollah started attacking Israel? See, it proves that the war on terror goes on, you know? You know, it's just really these sound bites. And, you know, you just got to, I think we've got to take a page out of their book, because they're wonderful with the language and they know how to manipulate. And somebody was pointing out not too long ago that the problem with people, particularly in the academic world, is you have a tendency to see all sides of things, and then that sounds like you're waffling, and you can't make up your mind and all the rest of it.
Right.
You know,
so. Dr. Eldridge, we're about out of time. Listen, thanks a lot for being on the program tonight. I'm sure that eventually our paths will cross again. I'd love to have you on sometime just to discuss natural selection and to get into some of the information in the books you've written. I appreciate you taking time tonight, though, to cover both these.
Well, I appreciate subjects. It too, Mike. Thanks so much.
All right. Take care. We'll talk again.
Okay. Bye.
All right. We're going to take a break here. We shall be back momentarily. Do stay with us. This is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy. My hand.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, is Michael there?
This is?
Oh, hi, Michael. Wow. Okay, my name is Neil.
Yeah.
And we've never actually met before, but I used to own your Volkswagen Jetta. I was the original owner, actually. I used to own it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Why am I calling, right?
No, it's cool.
I mean, maybe I shouldn't have. I just miss it, you know? And how is it? The car? It's great, isn't it? It's so great.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
You've been driving it and stuff?
Yeah.
Let me ask you something. Is it dirty? Because I could wash it.
Volkswagen owners really love their cars, but sometimes they have to let them go. Then we pass them on to you. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
Collective approach is one based upon sound science and not based upon science.
No, sit down and shut up. If you want more information about the guest I just had on, he's got a webpage, NilesEldridge.com. It's N-I-L-E-S And his last name is ELDREDGE, NilesEldredge.com. Very interesting website. Check it out, NilesEldredge.com. Lieberman's on the phone? No, couldn't he? Is this Senator Joe Lieberman is calling from Connecticut. All right, Senator Lieberman, welcome to the program.
Yes, yes, Mike. I'll answer any questions you have, but first I wanted to explain to the people of Connecticut that I really like to play with squirrels, especially when they know how to water ski. But, Mike, do you like to play with squirrels?
No, I stay away from rodents. I like to shoot them, but...
Do you have any questions for me?
You're not really a Democrat anymore. You're an independent now. So let me ask you: are you going to give up all your committee positions? You have various committees where you're a Democrat. You're going to give them up?
Well, right now, basically, I think I'm just going to do whatever GW tells me to do.
Yeah, I understand that Karl Rove has offered you his assistance. So whatever he can do for you, he'll do. The big guy has ordered it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you're not going to commit suicide, are you?
No.
No?
No, okay. I like playing with squirrels, like I say.
What do you think your chances as an independent really are in Connecticut? You know, look, you said today that the people, or you said last night, or today, or whenever it was, that the people would support you, people of Connecticut. If that's true, why didn't they support you the other night?
Well, I don't know, but I'm just going to run because I like to shake people's hands also. That's okay. Another thing I like to do.
All right. Well, Senator Joe, thanks for checking in. I appreciate it. Get some help. Get some help.
Okay.
All right. That wasn't Joe Lieberman. Was it?
You think?
We've got some Lieberman, though. Here he is, interviewed by Matt Lauer on the Today Show this morning. This is from NBC's Today Show. I don't know what morning after cocktail Joe Mentum drank, but here he accuses Ned Lamont of being a partisan polarizer. Of course, Lieberman isn't partisan about anything, but... one thing we know about Lieberman, he's not a Democrat anymore, but here is Matt Lauer.
I would imagine your phone is going to start to ring pretty early this morning, Senator. The likes of Frank Lautenberg and Chris Dodd and maybe even Bill Clinton calling to say, Senator, step aside. The voters have spoken. Are you going to take their calls or are you going to screen their calls?
Well, I'll always take the calls of friends, but my mind is made up. I'm going forward. I'm going forward because I'm fed up with all the partisanship in Washington. It stops us from getting anything done. If my opponent, Mr. Lamont, ever was successful, the fact is that he would be just one more partisan polarizer and get in the way of America and Connecticut.
Oh, Jesus. You're kidding me. He really said that, Kathy. That he's fed up with all the partisan... Here, Lieberman maintains that the people of Connecticut are behind him as an independent. If you're listening in Connecticut, is that true? Are there Democrats in Connecticut who would step outside the party just to vote for that guy, for this guy? Is he that popular? Your other senator, Chris Dodd, doesn't seem to think so. He's supporting Lamont. But Lieberman says he's going to win because the people of Connecticut like him the best. I haven't heard a turncoat Democrat that deluded since Zell Miller.
Facts are facts, Senator, though, and you lost to a political novice by 4 percentage points. Now that political novice is going to have the support of the entire Democratic machine behind him for these next 3 months. How can you win?
I'm going to have the support of people of Connecticut. That's the kind of campaign we're going to run. We're going to forget the old politics of division, and we're going to go forward and try to build unity around shared goals for the future.
Oh, my God. Oh, stop, Joe! It's not so bad being unemployed. You'll get a job. My God, Bechtel is waiting. Carlyle Group is waiting. Hell, maybe Bush will make you ambassador to I don't know where. How about the Philippines? I don't know. Quit your kvetching. Quit your whining. The people of Connecticut already spoke. They said no, Joe. Goodbye, and thanks for all the fish. Why is that so hard for politicians to understand? Why is it? You know, same thing happened down here. Different race, different situation, different everything different. But I watched Cynthia McKinney give her concession speech the other night. I thought she was going to reach out into the crowd and grab some of the people operating the television cameras and choke them to death. You know, it was the media's fault. It was his fault. It was that. The fact that maybe there was, and there was, an awful lot of Israeli PAC money or Jewish PAC money that went to her opponent in the runoff. But dear God, when you get defeated 60% to 40%, sit down and shut up. You know what I'm saying?
Don't have to shoot my old lady. You know I've got a messy man with another man.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with a first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
The point of commercials is, of course, to get you to do something. For example, we'd like you to go to Geico.com and get a free rate quote. But if you're still not reaching for your mouse, at least do this for me. Call a friend who has Geico and ask some questions. Can Geico really save me that much money? Is their claim service as good as, well, they claim? Are they really available 24/7? Once you get your answers, we'll be right here.
Go to Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. 40 million Americans suffer from allergies, 17 million from asthma, 37 million from sinus infections. Here's the thought. Change the air you breathe. An Orrick Professional Air Purifier completely renews the air in an average-sized room every 10 minutes. Try it free for 90 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. That's 1-800-989-4200.
Neocons. Don't be afraid. Be very afraid. It's Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
This is the end. My only friend.
Oh, just can't help but think about Apocalypse Now every time you play that. Oh. Back to Lieberman here, just a couple more. Interviewed by Matt Lauer on the Today Show the morning after. Question, is Lieberman maybe schizophrenic? I'm not trying to pick on him. It's a legitimate question. He claims he's a proud Democrat, so he's going to run against the Democrat the people of the state chose to represent them. I mean, this doesn't make sense. Maybe schizophrenic is the wrong word. Maybe he's just having a complete emotional or mental breakdown. I don't know. Here's Matt Lauer setting it up again. Here you go.
Let me go back to that line in your speech last night. I'll paraphrase it if you don't mind. You said, for the sake of your state, your country, and my party, you will not let these results stand. It's a nice line in the speech, but the fact of the matter is there are a lot of Democrats who think that now, going forward, you are putting your own personal ambitions above the good of the party. How do you respond to that?
Well, I think it's time for somebody to break through the dominance of both parties by the margins of the parties, which happens in primaries. I think it's time for somebody to break through and say, hey, let's cut out the partisan nonsense. Yes, I'm a proud Democrat, but I'm more devoted to my state and my country than I am to my party.
Oh, my God, he started to sound like Bush. And Lieberman is an intelligent man, and Bush is a diphthong. Oh, my God. Joe, please stop. Last one from Lieberman for tonight. Lauer asked if there's any person in the Democratic Party that could... here's Matt Lauer.
Senator, is there any phone call you could receive? Is there anyone in the Democratic Party who could call you today and ask you to drop out that you would listen to?
Respectfully, no. I am committed to this campaign, to a different kind of politics, to bringing the Democratic Party back from Ned Lamont, Maxine Waters,
right,
to the mainstream, and for doing something for the people of Connecticut. That's what this is all about. Which one of us, Lamont or me, can do more for the future of our people,
right,
here in Connecticut? And on that basis, I'm going forward with confidence, purpose, and some real optimism.
Yeah, and a shoulder bag full of antipsychotic pills, right? Gee, Ned, bring the Democrat Party back from Ned Lamont. For Christ's sake, Joe, this is the first time he's ever been a politician. Maxine Waters? Oh, she's not mainstream? How is Maxine Waters not mainstream? Oh, that's right. She asked for balance in the Middle East, where it concerns the Israelis and the Palestinians. Sorry, Joe. I forgot. Jesus. Maxine Waters? Oh, he was just reaching for names there. He couldn't think. You know, he's going to bring the party back from the clutches of people like Ned Lamont. Joe, Ned Lamont has never held office. He's never been in the U.S. House or the Senate. What did who was it that called him the most circumcised senator from Connecticut or something? That was Black on the Daily Show. Yeah. All right, last one for the evening. You want to hold off on this one? All right, we'll hold off on this one. Let's take a couple of calls here on Lieberman, starting with Dean, who's calling from Coventry, Connecticut. Dean, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike.
Hey.
Well, you are talking to one seriously PO'd Connecticut Democrat. I mean, if I were to tell you how angry I am at Lieberman, I'd have to use language that the FCC forbids on the air.
Because he's going to run as an independent?
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, what kind of Democrat? Let me put it this way. If my employer said to me, Dean, you're fired, and I said, no, I'll just come in tomorrow and start working in a different department, do you think that would fly?
No, I don't. I don't.
I mean, this is a guy who, in the last days leading up to the primary, actually hired college Republicans to come into Connecticut, not only to canvass for him, but to disrupt Lamont events. I mean, they were obnoxious and nasty. They even accosted a 90-year-old veteran of World War II while he was talking to Lamont, if you can believe that. And this guy dares to call himself a Democrat?
Well, you know what I can't I can't figure out. Whoever the Republican candidate is, who
Alan Schlesinger.
Yeah, who?
Alan Schlesinger, his name is.
Related to the former defense secretary?
Probably not. Incidentally, he was polling at 13% before
his
gambling addiction became known.
All right, well, here's my question then. Why doesn't Lieberman just run as a Republican?
Hey, Ann Coulter said he should. Why not?
Ann Coulter said he should?
Oh, yeah. She said the Republican Party would welcome him. And you know what? For once, I actually agree with Coulter.
Oh, the foul-smelling Ann Coulter raises her her ugly mouth again. Oh, my God. Every time she comes up for air, she says something that is more outrageous than the last time.
Well, I think she's a succubus from hell myself.
I agree.
But can I say something else about Lieberman?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. Oh, great. I forgot what it was now. Well, in that case, let me just say I'm really sorry Cynthia McKinney lost, too. I really liked her.
Yeah, the problem that Cynthia McKinney had, there are a lot of reasons that she lost, not the least of which was the focused support for her candidate based on the fact that Cynthia was labeled an anti-Semite. And Cynthia is not an anti-Semite. What she was, as a member of Congress, was someone who also asked for some balance and fairness where it concerned the Palestinians. That immediately cast you in this country as an anti-Semite. But yeah, it is, and it's really doing some damage to my relationships with my Jewish friends that is going to take a long time to repair. Not just Cynthia McKinney, but this whole issue.
It's such a shame.
Yeah, it is a shame because these are friendships I value, but I can no longer pretend when I'm around folks who are heavy supporters of Israel. I can no longer pretend that murdering the Palestinians is acceptable or denying them just normal existence is acceptable. But I digress here.
Let me just
add this, because there's some political reality involved here. Cynthia's father, what's his first name, Kathy? He's a former state senator here, Billy McKinney. Truly is an anti-Semite. There is no question that he's he's anti-Jewish. Billy McKinney is really, really anti-Jewish. And he made it very clear when Denise Majette defeated his daughter back in 2002. So, having said that, and he's very active in her campaigns, he's always there with her. So he sort of pollutes the picture when he's standing
association.
Right, when he's standing next to her. He really does. He's from an older generation of people, Americans, who really let their anti-Jewish attitude fully develop. On the other hand, there's a third hand here. Cynthia developed an attitude about her constituents that was, I don't know, kind of removed. And I'm talking about the black folks that vote for her, her base. Every politician has a base. The fact is that Cynthia's hardcore base were primarily black voters. And I saw a bunch of them interviewed on local television news this afternoon or this evening. Black voters who more or less said Cynthia got too involved in drama and they were tired of it. They wanted somebody representing them who wasn't such a drama queen. Now, that's essentially what they said. And African-American voters will punish the hell out of the people that they send to D.C. when they start to feel like that person is not responding or is becoming too much of a drama queen. Now, the fact is, the guy that defeated her is every bit as liberal on the issues as she is. I don't think you could. There's no difference. I'm not sure how he stands on the iconic Israel Palestinian issue, but I think that he also asked for fairness and balance in the U.S. treatment of both sides in that issue, which of course will never happen. But she wasn't defeated by a Republican, and there is no Republican candidacy in the 4th District here in Georgia. Republicans just, there may be a few, but they have about as much chance as an ice cube in hell. So Cynthia was punished by her own people.
Well, I'm still sorry she lost. I remember.
I am too, and by her own people, I mean people her base in her district. I live in her district, and Kathy and I just barely made it to the polls the other day to vote for her. But it's a shame that Cynthia did not get a wake up call the last time she was defeated and realize that she had to spend more time in the district, more time with her constituents, because they're the ones who defeated her.
Well, I remembered what I wanted to say about Lieberman.
Okay, sure, go ahead.
Well, it's actually more to the people of Connecticut. We can't let this stand, okay? We have to make the next 3 months a living hell for Lieberman. We have to dog him at his campaign events, hold up big protest signs that say something like "Traitor Joe" or "You lost, get over it." The kiss float needs to keep stalking him. You know, if he's going to slap us in the face, we have to slap back if he's not going to drop out of the race. Because this is BS. This cannot stand. And that's pretty much all I have to say, Mike.
I hear you. All right. Thanks a lot for checking in. I do appreciate what you had to say, Dean. Take care. All right, quick break here. We'll be back. This is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy.
Called you so many times today, and I guess it's all true what your girlfriend said. You don't ever want to see me again. And your brother's going to kill me, and he's 6'10". I guess you call it cowardice.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old, and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now, and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
talk radio right. From the left, it's more of Mike Malloy.
Before the hour. This is from our Southern Fairfield County, Connecticut Bureau Chief. He writes, Mike, by a great percentage, we members of the Democratic Party in Connecticut are indeed behind Pope Joey with pitchforks, and we are eager to aid him in his plummet off the cliff. I do not feel that it is considered proper for a holy man, as Minister Lieberman enjoys portraying himself, to be sniffing both the same substances that George Bush and Rumsfeld do, and the seats of Republicans. There's a saying about the High Holy Days in the Jewish tradition that, in short, states that if you are presenting a gift to the temple, in order to wipe the slate clean of your trespasses of the year, take your gift and go out to the people you have trespassed against and ask forgiveness from them. Until the mortal folk that you have hurt forgive you, the Lord cannot. Once they forgive you, then God will too. Then bring your gift. Father JoJo's gift is clearly a Trojan horse. When Clinton offered Joy the use of a Trojan, I would like to think this is not what was meant. Okay. Our Fairfield County, Southern Fairfield County, Connecticut Bureau is still open, huh? Damn, that's one of the oldest bureaus of the Malloy program in out there, right? I think that's been around for five, six years. Thanks, Charles. Dearborn, Michigan, some residents of that Detroit suburb, which, by the way, is home to one of the this country's largest concentrations of people with roots in the Middle East. Residents there are receiving copies of a letter urging Muslims to, quote, go back to Lebanon, end quote. The American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee said it received phone calls about the letter Monday. The organization said it also received a newspaper clipping and a voicemail containing similar sentiments. The letter said in part, quote, the only way for the West to survive is to limit the immigrants of Muslims. Your kind is not wanted in this country, this state, our city of Dearborn, and this neighborhood. End quote. They used to say that about American Jews, didn't they? And Irish. And Italians. Huh? God, we're a screwed up country. Linda writes, I was raised in a liberal Reformed Jewish family, and I agree with your views on Israel and the Middle East. I have wondered why people cannot or do not want to try to understand all the points of view of the nations in the Middle East. All I can figure is that most people do not read, and those that do not read analytically. Linda. This is from Lee in Michigan. This is a first for me, but I had to write because of what you are speaking about. I, too, do not understand why I must be treated like the redheaded stepchild anytime I speak about the slaughter going on in Lebanon and Palestine. I can't believe that being a loyalist to Israel even seems to come as a priority over being a good patriot to our own country. I don't think people understand the difference between loyalist and patriot. Unfortunately, the Jewish people also seem to have been able to keep our guilt-ridden group consciousness active. We as a country seem not to be able to get over the Holocaust and what we allowed to happen. I, for one, am tired of it, though. I hate what I see in the Middle East because of Israel's inability to act rationally. They have gone off the deep end, and I find their behavior to be appalling. I'm sure that part of many people's misperception stems once again from our media not doing their job properly and not reporting anything without a bent toward the Israeli perspective. I won't even watch local news anymore because of the biased slant. I barely get the real news on PBS or BBC anymore. I am of an age where I remember how awful we all thought it was that the Russians didn't have a free press and all they heard was propaganda. That used to be a dirty word in our country, propaganda. These days, it's just another day in the life. I fear for my country when my country starts putting another country's feelings above the feelings of our own citizens. Lee in Pinckney, Michigan. This is from Becky. Mike, I know you're probably sick of my emails, but you hit my beliefs exactly with Lieberman. It wasn't just the war. It was everything. Outstanding for me was Alito, the confirmation of Alito. My God, how could any Democrat forget that? I've always supported the Jews because of World War II. Never again. How can they slaughter Lebanese civilians after what happened to them? No. No more. See, and I think that email represents what I'm starting to sense. I don't know how other talk show, the email other talk shows are is running. I have no idea. But I'm starting to see a backlash. Did you see the picture, I think it was page A11, or was it A6, in the New York Times today, of the rubble from another Israeli bombing in Lebanon? And the picture showed a dead baby cradled in the arms of its dead mother, and it was a close-up shot while the rescue workers were trying to dig these two corpses, neither of whom had done anything to the mighty state of Israel.
Malloy on Air America Radio.
Hello?
Hey, is Mark there?
Yes, it is.
Mark, I'm Paul.
Yeah?
I own your old new Passat.
Oh, yeah, the...
Yes! Oh, boy, it's great talking to you. Listen, if you ever want to just swing by and just, you know, sit in the Passat, you give me a call anytime, we'll make that happen.
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. Can a vacuum make a difference in your life? Ask anybody who owns an 8-pound Orrick XL. They'll tell you there's not an easier or more efficient way to clean your home. And it's sanitary. See for yourself risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200. I'll get an Orrick XL to you faster than you can say, why settle for clean when you can have healthy, too.
Air America Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. Hezbollah denies that members of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard are fighting with them in Lebanon. Israel's Channel 10 said earlier Wednesday that there was confirmation by diplomatic sources the papers found among the bodies of dead Hezbollah guerrilla identified the Iranians. 15 Israeli soldiers and 40 Hezbollah guerrillas were reported killed Wednesday in southern Lebanon. President Clinton's former chief of staff says the United States must be an honest broker when it comes to stopping the conflict in the Middle East. Leon Panetta says the U.S. should not be on either the side of Israel or Hezbollah or anyone else.
We ought to go into that part of the world being a good broker, being able to try to work to see if we can get both sides to a peaceful solution. That's when we are honestly dealing with our national security interests, is when we can deal with both sides.
Panetta said even though Hezbollah should disarm, there is no military solution to the problems in the Middle East. The Transportation Department reports a laptop containing driver's and pilot's license information was stolen from a government vehicle in Florida last month. The laptop contained nearly 133,000 records, including names, Social Security numbers, and birth dates. The theft marks the third time this year a government computer containing sensitive identity records has been reported missing. Senator Joe Lieberman is refusing to go quietly after losing the Democratic primary to Ned Lamont Tuesday, despite calls from many top Democrats for him to abandon plans to run as a petitioning candidate. Lieberman says he is in the race to the end.
I'm running for reasons that seem right to me, which is that I know that I can do a better job for the people of Connecticut in the United States Senate.
Three of 11 Egyptian nationals who vanished after entering the U.S. on student visas have been arrested. Authorities began searching for them after they failed to show up for classes at Montana State University. The FBI arrested one of them in Minneapolis, while police in Manville, New Jersey, arrested two others. The Bridgewater Courier-News of New Jersey quotes the FBI as saying, "The students are not linked to terrorism, but are wanted for alleged immigration violations." You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Welcome back. Phone number here is 866-303-2270. If you would like to join in live. This is from SK. He writes, or she writes, I really enjoyed Wolf Blitzer's exclusive interview today with the insane zealot Pat Robertson in Jerusalem, which they looped endlessly through the day. Robertson spouts some gobbledygook about how it is God's land and that he is excited and invigorated by the bodies of innocent children getting blown to pieces just yards from where he's beaming his hyena-like rictus grin into the CNN camera and proudly boasting that the carnage behind him is really a good thing. I can't take any more of this insanity. Am I the only one who can see the sheer perversity of CNN allowing this blanking freak of nature to spout his evangelical BS all day while innocent people are literally being made into bloody chunks within earshot of this lunatic's ranting? Wolf just thanks him, shakes his hand, and that's that. We are to digest this filth as if it is not the most prurient charnel madhouse to ever face humanity, with a gaggle of corpse-eating monsters videotaping the carnage and getting excited over it. Whew. Sounds like something I might write. From Reg, who... who's Jewish and has been all her life. Mike, I've just signed an important petition for Jews and their non-Jewish friends and supporters who are outraged by Israel's attack on Gaza and Lebanon, as well as by U.S. support for those attacks. I hope you'll go here. It's democracyinaction.org. To sign the petition, Jewish Voice for Peace, a group I support, will present the petition to Condoleezza Rice, George Bush, and Ehud Olmert, the Israeli Prime Minister. They will also release a number of signers to the media. We need to get as many people as possible to sign the statement. It goes without saying that we all deeply mourn the loss of Lebanese, Gazan, and Israeli lives, but instead of negotiating and helping to reduce the violence, Israel's wildly disproportionate response has inflamed the situation. Massive bombing of neighborhoods, roads, and even cars with people in them is not just illegal and immoral. It feeds the forces of extremism. Please join. Let's show the world the thousands of Jews and allies who seek an end to the settlements and occupation and a just and fair peace in the Middle East. It's democracyinaction.org. And Reg includes another one, jewishvoiceforpeace.org. I've got a couple more of these, and I just want you to hear them. These are people who don't call the program and send these emails, and that's why we're sharing them with you. This is from Juan. Hey, Mike, my country was invaded by the U.S. 108 years ago and has since been occupied. I'm talking about Puerto Rico. I have seen how things that happen on the island are either not reported by the U.S. media or completely misreported, giving a completely one-sided view. I was shocked when a couple of weeks ago around midnight, CNN showed a report that was done by CNN International about Hezbollah in Lebanon. The report included interviews with Lebanese and Palestinian families who said that Hezbollah took care of all their medical needs and other basic needs, things the Lebanese government could not or would not provide. After Israeli bombings, they showed Hezbollah members going round and taking note of who needed water and so forth among the population, no matter who they were. For this, the people are obviously eternally grateful and loyal to Hezbollah. Doesn't really sound like a terrorist organization, does it? Like I said, I was shocked to see such a report in the U.S. that didn't characterize them as cold-blooded killers and terrorists. Signed, Juan. Well, bad news, Juan. This is from multichannel.com. Israeli cable operators received government approval to drop CNN International from their lineups starting in November. Local operators have been in heated negotiations with Cable News Network over renewing a carriage deal since June when AOL Time Warner Vice Chairman Ted Turner's remark that both Israelis and Palestinians were, quote, engaged in terrorism, close quote, prompted a huge political controversy in the country. Local pay TV operators subsequently added Fox News Channel to their lineups and applied to regulators for permission to drop CNNI, saying they could no longer afford the service. CNN officials complained that the operators are using the political controversy as a negotiating tactic. I was surprised when the other day I mentioned, I forget the anchor woman's name, but CNN International, for whom I used to write when I 6 years ago when I came back from Chicago and was unemployed in radio business, which I may be again soon, by the way. But I went to work for CNN International, and I've said before, the way we were instructed to write the news for CNN foreign viewers rather than CNN domestic was entirely different. And the other day, watching CNNI on my system, well, you can get it if you get CNN now, every day from, I think, noon to 1, they switch to CNNI for world news that is written not for strictly for American consumption, it's written for global consumption. And one of the interviewers, a woman, I forget her name, damn it, I used to write for her, she was interviewing an Israeli government spokeswoman. And the questions being asked by CNN, by the anchor woman, were straightforward, pointed, deliberate, and the Israeli spokeswoman absolutely refused to answer and instead continued with the platitudes about how Israel respects human life, Israel does everything in its power to not murder and butcher and blow into pieces civilians, exactly what they are doing. Israel has now announced, the IDF has now announced, that any vehicle moving in the area of Tyre, Lebanon, will be blown to pieces. They don't care what it is. The Red Cross, humanitarian effort, Human Rights Watch, soldiers, bomb-throwing terrorists, they don't care. Anything moving. The city of Tyre has been effectively cut off, much the way the Warsaw Ghetto was cut off. The similarities between what happened to isolated populations of Jews in various cities around Europe in the early 40s and what is happening to Lebanese civilians in their own country as a result of what Israel is doing, the comparisons are stark and dramatic and are making me even sicker. I can't believe I'm seeing this. I don't know how you feel about this, but I know how some of you feel about it because you're sending me the emails. But anyway, Juan, CNN International has been replaced in Israel starting in November, as sooner if they can dump CNNI, by Fox News Channel. And the reasons for that are obvious. Now, I read this the other night, but it bears repeating because I got an answer to it. This is from Malka Jacobs. My family and I are in the process of moving to Israel in Hebrew. It is called Making Aliyah. The impassioned hatred you and some of your listeners have for us is deafening. For I believe in two things, that Israel too has the right to exist and defend itself when it is attacked, and that Hezbollah has no interest in establishing a Palestinian homeland or protecting the civilian population. Hezbollah exists to destroy Israel. They exist to destroy Israel, killing every Israeli and every Jew. Israel did not start this war. If I ever find myself in a bunker under attack by those bastions of civility, peace, and tolerance, I would think about the night you and your listeners wished that my family and I die. And it's signed Malka Jacobs. And an answer to it comes from Kurt. Your emailer might also consider asking herself why it is that an American family can move to Israel or the occupied territories, while an Arab citizen of Israel cannot buy land nor bring their non-Jewish spouse to live with them in Israel or the occupied territories. Is the distinction not race and or ethnicity? And can this person tell me or any other country in the world whose only requirement for citizenship is that they are a member of a specific race slash religion slash ethnicity? Maybe that's why your emailer sounded like such an ignorant racist. Does not a racist arrive at such a worldview on the basis of ignorance? Sorry for the flurry of rhetorical questions, kind of tacky. Kurt.
Yes, and how many deaths will it take till he knows that too many people have died? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Real people are sharing their good news about Aleve.
My name is Art Bivens, and this is my story. I have a folk group called Cool Old Dudes.
As I was going over Kilcara Mountain.
I have arthritis in my fingers. It makes it very hard to press down on the strings. Our bass player said, man, you got to try some Aleve. Just to shut Eric up, I tried the Aleve, and he was right. I'm back in the game. I can play guitar again.
Real people, real stories, real good news. Share your good news at AleveGoodNews.com. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
The point of commercials is, of course, to get you to do something. For example, we'd like you to go to Geico.com and get a free rate quote. But if you're still not reaching for your mouse, at least do this for me. Call a friend who has Geico and ask some questions. Can Geico really save me that much money? Is their claim service as good as, well, they claim? Are they really available 24/7? Once you get your answers, we'll be right here.
Go to Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Our host for a Piance Brian's future, it's Mike Malloy.
Yeah. From those bands, Tiananmen Square.
It's coming from the field.
21 past the hour. This is the last email I'm going to share with you tonight. This is from Alan in Ridgeland, South Carolina. He writes, Mike, do you really think that in responding to provocative acts of war and the Hezbollah-targeted shelling of Israeli citizens by shelling cowardly terrorists who hide behind civilians, that Israelis, like conservative Americans, are, quote, acting against their own interests? What's the matter with Kansas is a brilliant polemic exposing a very real pathology in the American body politic. Israel, despite your magnification of her into a monster, is a tiny sliver of land seeking to survive among 200 million Arabs who hate Jews with a fanatical and murderous hatred. You may insist that you are not anti-Semitic until the cows come home, but by holding Israel to this impossible standard that no other nation in the history of the world has ever been held to, anti-Semitic is precisely what you are. Consciously or unconsciously, you are asking Israel to commit suicide. You make me, quite literally, ashamed to be a liberal. Alan, and his last name, in Ridgeland, South Carolina. Sorry you feel that way, Alan. All right, one last soundbite here. This is the press briefing by Tony Snow, who really is making me wish that we had the quacking quackaroo back. This guy is he's a brown shirt. He is truly would have been right at home. Tony would have been in Germany in the 30s, working in the Department of Propaganda. They held a press briefing at the Crawford Middle School today. I don't know, maybe to give the 12-year-olds a civics lesson in how to lie to the press. But reporters are trying to pry out some bit or piece of information on what's going on in the United Nations regarding that resolution to stop the Mideast violence. Our ambassador to the UN, the anger management school failure, John Bolton, wouldn't be specific on the differences between the French and the U.S. draft resolutions, but it appears that France in particular seems to be supporting the idea of a withdrawal of Israeli troops from Lebanon as a condition for a ceasefire. This is what the Lebanese government wants anyway. But the U.S. insists that those troops can remain as defensive forces. Jesus. Makes you wonder where Condoleezza Rice stands on this. Actually, where she stands on this is she's having trouble with her boss. The shoe lady is starting to come out of the ether and realize that she is complicit in several instances now of war crimes in Iraq and actively in Iraq and in a passive sense in Lebanon. And she's a very bright woman. She may be a shoe freak and school marmish, but Condoleezza Rice, like so many of these people, doesn't need a weatherman to tell her which way the wind is blowing. Reporter says, Tony, you say you're not at an impasse. You want to work with our allies in this matter. Do you think it may become necessary in order to get an end to the violence for France and the U.S. to present separate resolutions to the U.N. to deal with this?
I don't even want to get into that. We are still working with allies to come up with a resolution that everybody can agree upon. I can't tell you what the end state is going to be. I can tell you that the American position remains the one to which G8 governments and also the governments that gathered in Rome were committed to from the very beginning. You've got to remember how it started with Hezbollah. You also have to remember that if you have Hezbollah still maintaining the ability to operate independently and to use military might, in defiance of 1559, getting rockets and getting rockets of various varieties, one assumes from Iran, that in fact, that situation simply cannot remain. And that is what set off this chain of events. It's beyond any of us to come up with a firm prediction about when you get a resolution.
Tony Snow has one answer to all these questions. Hezbollah started it. Hezbollah started it. Hezbollah started it. Sounds like a six-year-old on the playground. Jesus, these people make me sick. Well, I've my own personal perspective here. Just all you have to do is just read the New York Times. That so many people in this country accuse of being liberal and a Jewish newspaper and so on and so forth. Read the New York Times and their coverage of what the Israeli Defense Forces are doing to the Lebanese. Not to Hezbollah, to the Lebanese. They had an article in there today, or was it yesterday, about a man who lost 15 of his relatives at one time, three of his children, both his parents, his brother, his brother's family, and he, the guy they're talking about, he was severely wounded, and he doesn't know. The doctors haven't told him yet. Oh, by the way, your wife is dead, your children are dead, your parents are dead, your brother is dead, your sister-in-law is dead, and their children are dead. Just read the New York Times. From my own personal perspective, this is causing some damage inside of me that probably will not heal before I die. I just don't think it's going to happen. The war economy is making new jobs, but the people who benefit most are breaking bread with their benevolent host, who never stole from the rich to give to the poor. All he ever gave to them was a war and a foreign enemy to deport. Let them eat war. Let them eat war.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hello?
Opportunity calling.
I thought you knocked.
That's a cliche.
What do you have?
An opportunity to win.
What's it called?
Sony Card Wish It Win It.
So first I wish?
And then you have a chance to win.
Win what?
$10,000 worth of Sony Entertainment.
That's huge.
That's Sony Card Wish It Win It.
What do I do now?
Go to SonyCardWin.com/experience to create your personal wish list.
I wish for Sony electronics, CDs, DVDs, and games.
Go now.
Can't wait.
There's a Sony card winner each month.
So there's a chance?
That you'll be the one.
To wish and then win?
That's why it's called Wish It, Win It from Sony Card. The card that earns points towards Sony rewards with every use. Go to SonyCardWin.com/experience. No purchase necessary. Offer ends 12/31/06. Void where prohibited. Open only to U.S. residents 18 or older as of date of entry. Odds of winning depend on number of entries. For official rules and alternative method of entry, go to SonyCardWin.com. Sponsored by Sony Electronics, Inc. And remember, life's more entertaining with Sony Card.
Hello?
Hey, is Mark there?
Yes, it is.
Mark. Wow, you are one hard guy to reach. I am Paul.
Yeah.
I own your old, new Passat. I mean, it's my Passat now. It used to be, you know, the 2004, the GL.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yes! Oh, awesome.
Oh, how do you like it?
It's doing great. Runs like a top.
Oh, good.
Boy, it's great talking to you. Listen, if you ever want to just, you know, swing by and just, you know, sit in a Passat or, you know, watch me drive it, just you give me a call anytime, we'll make that happen.
Volkswagen owners really love their cars, but sometimes they have to let them go. Then we pass them on to you. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
We'll be right back.
Making the pie higher, it's more of Mike Malloy.
Man, you know, I was there on the day the monkey came into this world. His face was round and reddish, and his hair was slightly curled. He didn't look too...
26 before the hour. Let's go back to some phone calls here. Mike is calling from Manhattan in New York City. Mike, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Oh, my God. I just want to wake up.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. Oh, my God. So do I.
But thank you, Mike, for speaking the truth, you know, wherever it ends up leading you, you know. But you know what? All right. Up front, I'm a Jew, you know. I was raised to, you know, remember the Holocaust so that it didn't happen again, and I support Israel. But, man, they went over the line. You know, since when did there become a conversion factor for human life?
Are yeah, I hear you.
I mean, I hear my fellow Jews writing this, I can't even say the word, I don't think,
no.
to you on email, and it makes me sick, Mike. You know, really, it's such a narrow-minded view. I don't know what to say except, you know, I'm sorry, you know, children are dying of every kind, and that alone is wrong.
Yeah, I don't understand. It's something I don't understand. My first awareness of gratuitous, evil, mass death was when I started to understand what happened in Poland and Germany during the Holocaust. I had no idea that human beings were capable of that sort of indiscriminate slaughter. And as a young kid growing up, a teenager, I don't know how old I was when I first read Treblinka. I don't know how old I was when I first read Night. But I remember thinking, this happens? And then from that, you know, I started to learn about what Stalin did in the Ukraine, what Mao did, what, you know, I started to realize,
it goes on and on.
It's all over the place. And then I started to realize what we did in this country and yada, 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 yada. But what it left me with was a feeling inside me that this kind of death and destruction against innocent people is something I can't let it just float around and go talk about the Lieberman-Lamont race. Impossible.
I mean, Mike, you know, Martin Luther King, all these people, you know, do you think one of them would stand up and say, oh, no, it's cool, slaughter them as long as you don't slaughter the other people? Anyone who supports that kind of slaughter is on the wrong track. Keep up the good work, Mike.
All right, thanks, Mike.
Regards to Molly and Kathy.
Well, I appreciate you checking in. Thanks a lot. I do appreciate it. I really do. I don't think I take the emails that accuse me of being an Israel hater or a Jew hater or anti-Semitic or whatever, all that seriously. It's very painful to see that. It really is to read that sort of stuff, you know, coming into this program. But that's, you know, I'm not naive enough to be that shocked. I fully expect. I said months ago, because I've said repeatedly, in working the past 2 years as I have for this network and the previous 3.5 years for a different network and on and on and on, as I work back look back over my career, I've said repeatedly that after what I experienced as a broadcaster, a new broadcaster in the 80s, when the first intifada was raging in the occupied territories, and my position on that first intifada was very much anti-violence, and I was shocked at what I saw. And what I saw was Palestinian teenagers throwing rocks at Israeli tanks that would then open fire on them. But what happened was, in trying to discuss that, here in Atlanta, Georgia, in the late 80s, mid to late 80s, during the age of Reagan and Bush 1, I came to realize something very quickly, and that was that the restrictions on what you could say regarding Israel's actions in the Middle East, even though Israel was nothing more or less than another sovereign state, this attitude that Israel is unique in that it is under assault by Palestinians or Hezbollah or whomever, I just reject entirely. There is a way to solve that. And I certainly am not going to be the one who comes up with a solution. I understand that. People have tried. Israelis have tried. Egyptians, Syrians, Jordanians, Palestinians, so many people have tried. But there are people on both sides. There are fundamentalist Jews and wild, out-of-control Muslims who will not accept peace. And they have a megaphone that seems to be so big in the Middle East, so that rational voices are constantly drowned out. In the meantime, the murder and the mayhem continues. And I speak out against it. And when I see a country like the United States or China or Israel that is so militarily superior to its neighbors, in the case of the United States, militarily superior to the entire world, acting as though it were a belligerent, fascist, murderous country. What Israel is doing is fascist. What the United States is doing is fascist. What China has done in its invasion of Tibet and what the situation between the Muslims and the Hindus where it concerns Kashmir, all of this stuff is murderous hatred. Most of it is based on religion. And which brings me full circle. One of the reasons I despise religion, I hate it at the bottom of my soul for what it's done. But I told myself years ago in this business, stay away from the Israel question. Talk about Israel-Palestinian question. Talk about it when you're invited to speak, but keep it off the air. Because you'll be labeled, you'll be fired, you'll be moved to a lousy time slot, they'll all of a sudden decide your program isn't profitable, whatever the hell it is. And I've gone through that. I have gone through that. I've been attacked by the Anti-Defamation League. I've gone through this simply for attempting to present both sides where it concerns this issue. And I gave up. I just said, to hell with it. You know, there's nothing I can do about it. There's not a damn thing I can do about it. To hell with it. I'd rather be employed than try to be some... martyrdom is not something I'm comfortable with. If I'm instructed to shut up about the issue, then to hell with it. I'll shut up. Well, that works for a while, doesn't it? And then finally you say, wait a second. This is beyond the pale. This can't be tolerated. This can't be, this can't, you know, the Jews, and rightfully so, scream about how the world was silent, and the scream is legitimate, and it comes from their souls, how the world was silent as they were being butchered by this Christian madman, Adolf Hitler, in the 40s. And the world was silent. And when the Jews tried to flee, how many ships of Jewish refugees were turned away, whether it was in Puerto Rico or Cuba or the United States or wherever the hell it was, Australia, it didn't make any difference. And when I came to realize that, the silence of the rest of the world as the Jews were systematically destroyed, and I couldn't accept that. I just, this can't be. This can't be. I am part of a species that does that. It can't be. And now the silence that is expected where it concerns the slaughter of Palestinians or Lebanese or, in our case, the United States, Iraqis, we're supposed to be silent. If you speak out, then you are either anti-American or you're pro-terrorist or you're anti-Israel or you're a Jew hater or whatever it is. It's unbelievable, the pressure to shut up. And yet, 60 years ago, the people who shut up were seen as not righteous. They were seen as people who were complicit with their silence in the slaughter of 6 million. I'm not going to be in that group. I'll be goddamned if I'm going to be in that group. I will not be in that group. And the only thing I could suggest, I mean, I get your hate-filled emails, and I read them, and then I block your email, Addie, because, you know, there's an abundant supply of your filth and your hatred that comes into this program. There's an abundance of it, trust me. Trust me. It's like a vile, putrid font of hatred that's coming in here, directed at me, my wife, and my daughter. And I don't know what to say. You know, I really don't know what to say. If you think you're going to silence me, you're wrong. As long as I'm on this program, whether it's the United States or Israel or Syria or Iran or China or Venezuela or Cuba or wherever the hell it is that does this, I'll say something about it. And I'll bring it up for discussion. And I will accuse. J'accuse. You know, that old thing. I will stand there and point my finger at the group or the government or the person or the people or the organization that in my little tiny slice of consciousness I feel is responsible for gratuitous murder of people who are innocent of everything except their race or their nationality or their religion or their atheism, whatever the hell it is. And if you don't like it, may your God damn you then, because I don't care.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now, 800-641-2626 for the Forward. That's 800-641-2626.
Thank you.
At 9 before the hour, thanks to our New York crew, Justin Nguyen and Andrew Dunn, who engineered the program, David Weissman, who handled your calls tonight. Also, Chris in Minnesota, Mark Marshall, Ben Birch, and Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief, Catherine Bass, executive producer of the program. Back to your phone calls here. How about Jay in San Francisco? Jay, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Doing fine.
Hey, man. First of all, I want to say that, you know, I feel your pain, old man. And as someone who had a history of learning to admire the Jewish folks, very similar to yours, I am deeply hurt and deeply disturbed by the bigotry, the xenophobia, and this disgusting way that you are being cut apart. I mean, there is absolutely no excuse on this earth. You are a soulful, decent human being who treats everybody like family that comes to your show, treats everybody as a human being. And you have expressed an opinion that is factual. Now, I myself, I'm pretty sure that I have Jewish heritage in my background, but I think the family was forced to convert to Lutheranism way back when. And, you know, one day I'm going to find out my roots, but upon finding that, I will not change my attitude towards what is being done in Israel. It is a crime. It is an abomination. It is something that just does not fit the profile of how I grew up learning to appreciate the Jewish people. It is a blot on their memory. It is a blot on the people at large now. And I find that the bigotry is so overwhelming. And just a few things that you have been able to read show me that, you know, to defend Israel in what is going on is not the human, the righteous, or the good way to go. Okay? Until they can make peace with their neighbors, they're never going to have any kind of peace. Now, who was the gentleman that was assassinated by extremists? The guy who was going to be...
Shamir.
Him too. But I mean, the guy that was assassinated. Oh shoot.
Meir Kahane.
No, there was another guy. Hasidic Jew assassinated him.
I don't know what.
They were at a rally or something. Guy pulls out a gun, shoots him. He was going to be premier or president or prime minister of Israel at that time.
Well,
I'm sorry. All right, yeah, let me forget it. All right, a judge who was checking this thing out was murdered because he was checking, you know, the connections.
Okay, all right, Jay, what's your point here? Because I want
to... Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry. My point is that this is not something that's going to serve the world or Israel in the future.
Well, I think, Jay, listen, let me move on. Thanks, I appreciate that. But I think most people understand that. I think the Israelis understand it. I think the Arab-speaking people understand. I think the Americans understand it. This is not a new situation. This has been going on and on and on, and the slaughter is going to continue. I don't see any way in hell for a resolution between the various factions and sides and peoples in this crowded little stretch of land. I don't see it. I really don't. I'm just getting tired of talking about it, frankly. Marge is calling from Indiana. Marge, welcome to the program.
Hi there, Michael.
Hey, Marge.
Take a deep breath. You know... If you're 6 years old and your house is blown up and your mother's crying and your brothers and sisters are being killed, you know, what the hell is the point?
Well, to the kids that are seeing their parents die and the parents that are seeing their kids die, there is no point. It ensures another generation or two or three of intractable hatred among all these people.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So did you happen to, two things real quick. Bush is seeking to a change in the law so that political appointees, CIA officers.
Yeah, we mentioned this last night. They'll be immune from prosecution for war crimes. They want to make it retroactive to the start of this atrocity in Iraq. Isn't that nice?
Isn't that cute, the way they do things?
I bet you Goering and Himmler and the rest of the Nazis who wound up in Nuremberg on trial for their lives, I bet they wish they had a law like that, huh?
Yeah, and the Bar Association is condemning him for, you know, putting in these statements whenever he signs a bill.
Right.
You know, where the hell have they been for the last 6 years? Jesus, Pete.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, before time runs out, did you get my list of generic drugs?
Of generic what?
Medication, drugs.
No, you sent me a list of drugs?
Yeah, it was big, bold print. You didn't get it?
I don't think you mailed it to me.
Uh-huh.
Well, maybe I haven't been to the post office box for a few days. How long ago did you mail it?
Since first of the month.
A list of generic drugs.
Yeah, I thought it was something that you might change your frame of mind a little, just a tad.
But what'd you send me, a joint in the mail?
No.
No.
I got something from my pharmacist, and I thought you'd appreciate it. It wasn't anything I could read on the air, so I mailed it to you.
Oh, I don't think I got it. I really don't.
It's big, bold, black print. Go look.
I'll go look. All
and
right.
I'll talk to you next time.
All right. Take
Have
care.
A good night.
Thanks, Marge.
Good
you
night,
too.
Kathy.
Take care, Marge. A pharmacy list of... Thanks for participating tonight, most of you. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
Malloy on Air America Radio.
I'm so busy at work, Dr. Phil, I don't have any time ever, and I wouldn't know where to look.
Well, don't just sit around whining about what you don't have. Go out and create what and who you wish was in your life.
Somehow I knew you were going to say that.
Look, don't dream, do. Don't want, get.
Match.com is working with Dr. Phil, and our members are loving his insight. We'll show you who. He'll show you how. So come see what Match.com can do for you. Match.com, the number one site for love.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. I've torture-tested my 8-pound Orrick XL vacuum in the world's most grueling proving grounds, luxury hotels. 5 years in a hotel is like 50 years in your home. Folks, you owe it to yourself to try the end product of my 40-year obsession, the 8-pound Orrick XL. Try it risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200. If it's perfect for hotels, it's perfect for you.